This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Full disclosure, I am not a runner. I mean, I run, like I run away from things if I have to, not many. I run towards a lot of things. I run at the gym. I have run, like I've actually done a couple 5Ks. My dad's a huge runner. He ran a ton of marathons. When I was little, I would go to races with him and do the fun run, like the 1 miler, and he would do something crazy and I would just run around with kids, which was way more fun in my opinion. So to meet a runner and to spend time with people that really identify as runners is extremely intimidating and mesmerizing for me. I find them admirable and tenacious, and it's mysterious because I just don't have that in me. And I hope that you find today's guest admirable, mysterious, exciting. And also, I think we'll talk about events too. What do you think? Sure. Yeah, we'll talk about some fun events too. I'm so pleased to have a runner, an event professional, a sports fan, which we're going to talk about too, today as the guest on Speaking of Events. Welcome, Megan Miller. She is the manager events and experiences at Fenway Sports Management. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. What an introduction. Mysterious.
You're so mysterious. She's right now in a very gray room. You're in a mysterious, she said she had to move room. So I don't even, you're at an undisclosed location, although it's kind of clear by the background, which says Red Sox, Big Air, experiences, frozen Fenway. What's frozen Fenway?
Frozen Fenway is a hockey event that is at Fenway Park.
Oh, cool. Maybe we'll hear more about that too. That's exciting. Thank you again for being here. And of course, I'm going to start with my first question that I ask all my guests, which is, Megan Miller, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
The one thing I wish people knew more about events is you don't have to blow up your entire plan if one person has a negative comment or a point of suggestion that maybe they, if they look 10 feet to the right, they would see what they're looking for. Someone may be having a bad day. And while everybody's opinions are something that you want to take and use as feedback, it's not something where you have to kind of stray away from what the mission of your event is. And in large scale events, when you are working and having thousands of people that you have to please and make happy, this is something I always keep at top of mind. You have to have a thick skin, but at the end of the day, if the majority of the masses have a great time, to me, I always consider that a success.
That's awesome and good life advice. Like, don't get derailed by one negative comment. Yeah. And to put it in, take it into context. That's good. Just for me.
Perfect example is from a running standpoint, when you do an event, a running event, a lot of times it's early in the morning. It might be a little dark. You're not really aware of your surroundings and someone
many of reasons why I'm not a runner, right? Yes.
Someone comes up to you and like, there's no bathrooms. Why aren't there any or whatever it is, or why don't you have any water? And it's like, nope, we have water. It's just, you know, 10 feet to your left, or you just have to look behind you, or, you know, we have a whole string of porta potties with no lines right around the corner. So for me, I take it as feedback. And sometimes if they're, you know, have a suggestion or a complaint, that is we're out of toilet paper is a lot different than you have no bathrooms. That's something we can take care of.
Yes. I try to in work, in life, if I hear something once, I'm like, okay, it's an anomaly. It's okay, noted. If I start to hear things two times, definitely three things, then I'm like, okay, where's the pattern? What's, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Are exactly. Porta potties a pattern in your world?
They used to be.
Oh, good.
Lots of conversations about porta potties. Yes.
Yes. Do you miss porta potties?
Sometimes I do. Luckily, I have the opportunity to work a multitude of different events, and I always, for some reason, I like love getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to a start line and help people put on a race and make their dreams come true. So, misery is company, I guess.
That is amazing. Wow. Absolutely. I had to get up for a flight at 3 o'clock last week. And I was like, no, this is not, I could never be again. I don't think a runner or a pastry chef. Cause I feel like those are the two people that have to get up that early in the morning.
I do love a good pastry bakeries, but then it's right. Like when you learn about how it's like, oh, we get here at 1 a.m. I'm like, nope, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a newish role. Are you still feeling kind of new in this role? You started in October, right?
I am. It's been quite an adjustment. I think one, just now going from being on the brand side to the agency side is something that I am now, you know, I have clients and I am not my own boss, which is one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest adjustments, but then also having the opportunity to work on so many different types of events and really being able to use creativity and also being back home in Boston is something that I am just so excited about.
That's awesome. Congratulations again. And what are, anything else come to mind in terms of things making that transition from the, you know, moving from one area to another, anything come to mind of things you've learned along the way thus far in the 7 months or whatever it's been?
For me, it's all about, I have to keep reminding myself that this is still a learning curve while I want to go in and make a big splash and make a change and create value and add value to the organization right away. There are a lot of organizational protocols and different steps that you have to take in order to get from point A to point B. To me, that's always, it takes the longest to really kind of get your step and groove. And at that, for me also, going from the brand side to the agency side, it's definitely not as, the process takes a lot longer in order to get to where you want to go. There's a lot of more back and forth and collaboration, which I actually really do enjoy. Before my old organization, I was a party of one. So I really didn't have, I had to go outside of the organization in order to find my mentorship or to get questions answered, or even from a creativity standpoint. But I love that I get to come into work every Thursday morning and know that we have a brainstorm of 15 of us that are trying to help, like, really think of creative and innovative ways that we can produce events that are going to be awesome for our clients.
That's great. And as always, another one I like to talk about, because I'm obsessed with speakers, thus my company, thus speaking of events, because it's sort of a play on words, if you didn't get that, which I'm sure hopefully other people did. You work with a lot of athletes now, you're interacting with athletes. So do you have, and so maybe from these athletic days or previous days, do you have any speaker disaster stories, event disaster stories you want to share?
I have so many disaster stories. I think from on the speaker side, especially like on that, from an athlete standpoint, I really see from, I guess, knowing that athletes, that speaking probably as for me has not been like the number one job that we've had to do. So they could be a really great athlete and but a very terrible speaker. And at the same time, from a personal standpoint, you know, a lot of if you, for example, want a high profile athlete that comes to a hospitality event for a client and they're just like looking at their watch and not wanting to like be there, but they're the ones that, you know, made the game winning hit or something like that.
Right.
You really have to do your research in order and really educate your client on, while this is may look like a great decision, it's not going to be a great experience for your guests.
Right. Because they're not the speaker athlete isn't going to be engaged.
Yes. Yeah.
So how do you ensure that we get the right fit? Right. I have a dream. I want to bring this person in, or somebody, a professional athlete. How do I ensure that it's going to be the right fit for the audience? Or how do you, and I don't have to do that. You do. How do you ensure that?
It's a lot of questions and back and forth. One with the client to make sure you understand their expectations and what they're really looking to accomplish. If they want an athlete that for photographs and autographs, that's one thing where it's in and out and there's not a lot of conversation. But then if you, for example, do want to have an athlete on a panel, there is a lot more digging that you need to do. And I think, you know, I always make sure that we're not bringing someone in that this is their first time doing something like this, and that they do have the opportunity to get a background on the organization or company that they are speaking to and can really tailor what they're talking about to the guests and the audience. And so that's like one of the biggest things I think for us is just having that open communication and really finding someone that does have the best fit and can make the biggest splash and impact.
And so how do you get them prepped? How do you say, hey, famous athlete, you're going to be on this panel. Here's the work. Like, do you talk to them? Do you send them stuff? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, it's a multitude of all of those things. I think given the resources that we have at Fenway Sports Management now and the relationships, we do have athletes that we have personal relationships with and we've used many times. So we can say, you know, have that casual conversation about what we're expecting and kind of give it to them straight, which I think also at the end of the day too, like a lot of people get so jittery and anxious and just awkward around celebrities and athletes that they really enjoy someone that can like talk straight to them and be a real person to them, face to face.
Right.
And then it's having those, you know, prep calls at the beginning. A lot of times too, we've seen you have athletes that come out for say charity golf events where you're with them, they're there for a very long time, or they're with a group for 4 or 5 hours. So in those types of scenarios or environments, you really have to be strategic of who you pair the athlete with, you know, the group that they're golfing with.
Yep. Is there anybody that makes you jittery and anxious?
Not from an like a sports athlete standpoint. I think for me, it would be more of like an actor, or someone that I see like a musician.
Ooh, like who?
This is super random, but I met Juliana Rancic several years ago, and I could not speak words. And I was so mad at myself afterwards, but that was just like a surreal moment for me.
Isn't it so weird how you kind of get like, because me getting jittery and anxious around actors typically doesn't, because that's my world. That is, not a thing, and certainly sports figures, because I don't know who half of them are. But every once in a while, I will get face to face with someone that I'm like, or not even, maybe side to side, not even so face to face, and be like, oh, this is such, it's such a weird kind of polarizing feeling of like, I don't know what to do with you.
Funny stories. When I was in grad school, we did a lot of, I worked a lot of collegiate events. And as I've grown older, the college athletes stay the same age. And I think that to me, like, puts things into perspective of like, these are just college kids, they're teenagers, they have no idea what's ahead of them. So I think for me, I always kind of resort back to that mentality of,
being,
you know, they're just kids.
Just kids throwing a football or something. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what is, if we're talking to a college kid, they want to get into events, particularly in your space, what are some of the things they're going to face today? Like, what's changing and growing, and what are they going to look at?
I've had the opportunity to speak at my grad school, which was a sports management degree. And it was interesting because when I started grad school, if you went around the room and asked us kids and students, why are you here? What do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish out of this program? The majority of them said they wanted to be like a GM of a professional team, or they wanted to work in college athletics. And throughout the course of the 2-year program, your eyes were opened up to everything else that's out there. The branding, the sponsorship, events, product. There's just so many things that sports touch that is outside of your, when you initially think of working in sports and events. And so I had the opportunity to work at a foundation that put on golf events. And that was my first touch of like, wow, this is really something that I can be good at and add value to and really contribute. And then on the flip side, I get to create something that creates a memory for someone else. And when I get the opportunity to talk to students that want to work in sports, I think the biggest thing is really educating them on what else is out there outside of those two things, and really using your gifts and talents and skill set to find a job that is going to highlight those within the sports industry, because it is, you know, $1 trillion business, and there's going to be something out there for everybody if that's your passion.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So how did you end up in this space? Because you started here in Boston, right? You grew up, started in Boston, your life.
I grew up outside of Boston, and I ended up on the West Coast. Originally, I thought I wanted to be Jerry Maguire and to be an agent. And so I went to law school and got my MBA. And after my first year of law school, I was like, wow, like, this isn't really the sexiness that I thought it was going to be. So I made my way to the West Coast and got my master's in sport management. And that really opened my eyes to all the different outlets there are within the sport industry. And specifically within events, you know, they happen all the time and someone has to plan them. And there's so many different aspects within, you know, a large scale event in general, that for me, I always said yes to the opportunity. And I found I spent as much time figuring out what I didn't like about certain aspects of being in sports as much as I really honed in on what I did like. And for me, producing events, creating memories, being a part of that type of excitement and that atmosphere was something that I thrived on and really was able to capitalize on, you know, using my skill sets for like the greater good of creating these memories for other people.
That you have to figure out how to, what you don't like. How else can you, I mean, that's, yeah. What are you using from your 1 year in law school? What are you using today from that 1 year of law school?
I use the Book of Torts as like a book stand for or to use to raise my computer.
Yes, sounds about right. For me,
I went into the program saying, you know, you just need contracts at the end of the day. And I think that's actually what I probably do use the most is just some of those learnings and really reading the fine lines. I think most people kind of just skim through agreements or just even like a vendor agreement, just sign off and don't really look at it. I definitely pay more attention to that.
Oh, that's good. Nothing's wasted. Even if you hated it, even if you moved on, you're using the book and and knowing what you don't want to do, which is absolutely important. I would love to switch gears a little bit and talk about, as I mentioned at the top, you are a runner and you have run, correct me if I'm wrong, 13 half marathons. Is that correct? Or is there like, did you add 7 since we last talked? No.
So in 2000, I started working in the running industry in 2012, and it was definitely a new place for me, an unfamiliar place. And I like to be prepared. I like to be the best. And so when I started working at the running company, I decided that in 2013, I was going to run 13 half marathons. And at the time, being an event director, I wanted to make sure that I knew everything about running and how to put on a long distance endurance event and what can be done to it. So for me, doing that, I mean, outside of the physical benefits, and I was able to really hone in on taking pieces from each of those different events and using it for our own. Wow. So it was 13 half marathons in 1 year.
And so what are you running today? What are you doing?
So today I'm doing a lot of hiking. I have an event coming up that I'm doing. It's an endurance event called 29029, and that is the elevation of Everest. So you hike up a mountain 13 times, and then you take a gondola down, and that at the end of that, that will be 29,029 feet. So that's at the end of August. So I'm doing a lot of like stairs and.
There's
not much elevation in Massachusetts too. So
yeah, what are you doing for that?
Blue Hills.
Wow. And just a lot of steps. How's your office? Do you have to walk up a lot of steps to get to
the- Actually do. I commute into work. So it's a mile walk each way from the commuter to Fenway. And I have a standing desk. If you ask any of my colleagues, they'll be like, I've never seen Megan sit. So just trying to stay on my feet as much as possible. And lots of stairs.
Can you walk the steps in the stands of Fenway? Is that a thing that you're allowed to do?
It is.
Yes. So Megan's office, for those who are not local, because we have listeners all over, your office is at Fenway Park, which mm-hmm. is the, for the one person who may not know, we have a lot of actors who listen to. So it is the baseball stadium of the official baseball stadium of the Red Sox. And I'm sure there's a million other cool things about it that I don't know. I've been there a couple times.
I went on the tour, the official tour a few weeks ago, and now there's like all these different like things that I see that they told us. Like if you look at the Green Monster, there's a ladder that goes to nowhere, and now I can not stop seeing it.
Can you use that in your training? Are they going to allow you to ladder to nowhere just for the elevation? Yeah. I'm excited for this new challenge that you have.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
So what are the, I think there's really obvious comparisons between distance running and putting on events or really crazy hike challenges and putting on events. So what are the kind of top couple that come to mind for you?
Patience, I think, is number one, and having a strategy and plan going into both running an event or running a event. To me, there always is some element of organization, I think, in events, and I always have a plan. You're training for something. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be challenges. I think just sports in general, there's so many overlaps on how both mentally really tough you up and prepare you for everyday life. And especially running too, I think, especially endurance running, you have a lot of time to yourself to think. And for me, that's always been super helpful because that's where I come up with my most creative ideas to then help me in my professional career. So there's so many overlaps and so many, I think, benefits of both that for me have just really made me so passionate about what I do and like really excited to wake up in the morning and, you know, challenge and tackle the day.
It's a lot of alone time to think. Another reason why I am not a runner. And back to disasters, because we didn't really hear a disaster. So any specific one, could be event, could be speaker.
Disasters.
Something you've witnessed.
I mean, that's just so many things. I'm trying to think of a good disaster. When we were at, for me, like just, I wouldn't say like disaster, like when you're working in events like outside, there's always the elements of wind.
The weather.
The weather is, you know, made for some really, really hard days. And especially, you know, in running, you're a participant. The other thing, you know, with sports and events is, you know, people are paying to run. And
crazy.
They're paying hundreds of dollars to participate in this event, or they're raising tens of thousands of dollars for a charitable organization. And so you almost feel like you want them to have the best experience as possible. And I mean, I've been just soaking wet in, you know, at start lines and just you're up at 2 a.m. and it is just a miserable day, but you're having to force a smile on your face because this is what people signed up to do. So from a disaster story, there's just been times where the torrential downpour and everybody's soaking wet, clothes are wet, tents are flying all over the place. Where it's a disaster.
I'm mostly glad it didn't involve a porta potty, I have to be honest. So thank you.
I have not had a disaster porta potty story.
Oh, that's good. All right. Are you ready to switch gears a little bit, Megan, and hit our lightning express round? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 45 seconds on the clock. There's not really a clock. And I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Number one, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
The end.
Yay, the end. Yay. The finish line or whatever. Who do you consider your mentor?
I have several, but mostly people that I listen to on podcasts or in books I read.
Ooh, favorite podcast? That's a bonus question.
Favorite podcast. Right now, I'm really into the Skinny Confidential.
Ooh, all right. Thank you very much. Favorite restaurant in Boston?
Oh, man. I actually have not. I have not been to a restaurant. I'm trying. Legal Seafood at Harborside is probably where I've been.
Okay. It's very good. Yes. Okay. I agree with you on that one. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
I take vitamins and I sleep with a castor oil pack on my stomach.
Really? So are you a back sleeper? Is that?
It just like, it ties around you.
Oh, it's like that's really cool. Okay. I got to learn a little bit more.
Deepest sleep I've ever had. And that was something that happened maybe about 6 months ago. I found it.
Wow. Very cool. Oh, we get health tips on this podcast too. I like it. Okay. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I would be sourcing vendors for an upcoming event.
Excellent. And if you could go to any fantasy camp, not Red Sox, what would that camp be?
Ooh. Probably the Yankees, just because I'd want to know what they were doing differently.
Okay.
Just in general.
That's fair. I see that. Yes, absolutely. And the best way to take care of an event professional?
Give them grace.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. You have lived. Congratulations. You lived the Lightning Express round. I love it. I can't believe we said the word Yankees on this podcast. Yes. Like, do we need to bleep it out later? Are we okay with that? Like, is that allowed?
It'd be really fun to see the Red Sox fantasy campers go against the Yankee fantasy campers.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
About mine.
I like that. Oh, that's like, yes, that's like a mega event. I like it. I like it. All right, Megan Miller, if people would like to connect with you and find you, where can they do that?
On LinkedIn or on Instagram, it's I am Megan Marie.
Excellent. Insta shout out. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy morning and shuffling rooms, and maybe you got some extra steps in trying to get to a different room this morning, but I thank you.
This is like a really cool background though for a podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much for
having me.
Very fun. Oh, you're welcome. If you can check us out on YouTube, she does have a very cool background. Can you move your head for 1 second so people can see? There's David Ortiz, not actually him, but the word. Yes. Oh, look at that. Events and Fenway Sports Management. Yes. It is very cool. All right. Thank you. Does it say hurling? Okay. It does indeed. Right? Is that what that says? All right. It's very fun and cartoony. I like it. Right. She turned around and was like, wait, what? Does it? Thank you. Thank you so much. This was a pleasure and really fun to get into the sports side of things, which is not something we've done yet before on Speaking of Events, and certainly not something I get to do a bunch. So I appreciate you taking us on a little virtual walk with Fenway Sports Management and what it's like to be in your world. So thank you again. Thank you to our audience and everybody who has listened. And remember that whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Thank you so much.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovations.